makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee and Tenderleaf Tea present Edgar Bergen, Bill Thompson, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Dale Evans, the sportsman, our guest, Charles Boyer, and Charlie McCarthy.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Dale.
Hiya, Charlie.
Have a card for a second.
A card?
Yes.
Oh, say, Charlie, that's pretty. Where did you get it?
Well, Skinny and I, we're in the printing business.
Oh.
Yeah, we cater to the upper strata.
Oh, so now you're a printer.
Yeah, man.
Charlie, it looks like you're a master of all trades.
Yeah, that's me, master of all trades, Nick Jacket none.
You know, Charlie, as printers, you and Skinny have a great responsibility.
We do.
Yes, you do. I hope you realize the full power of the press.
Well, Skinny does.
What do you mean?
He got caught in it yesterday. He got bitten all over and he looks like a walking newspaper.
Well, listen, how is he now?
Well, he's getting along all right, but he makes people mad when he rides a streetcar, though.
He does? How is that?
Well, he always sits down before they get through reading the last line.
Oh, Charlie!
Ray Noble's arrangement of...
There again.
Oh, please, please. What is it, Charlie?
Have a card, Pard.
Oh, yes, a card.
Yeah, I'm a printer now.
Yes, a printer.
Mm-hmm. That's me, Miss Print McCarthy, the messer to press.
Yes. Well, printing is a noble profession.
Yeah, the way we do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Benjamin Franklin and Mark Twain, they were printers.
Yeah.
And they became famous.
Mm-hmm. Small world, isn't it?
Yes. When Thomas Edison was a boy, he had a printing press, too.
He did?
Yes.
Gee, I can see it now, up in lights.
What does it say?
Mickey Rooney in McCarthy, the boy.
Is that so?
Yes.
What sort of press have you got? Is it a hand press?
No, it's really a second-hand press. We got it from Skinny's uncle.
Skinny's uncle?
Yes, he used to do very well with it. Made a lot of money.
Why'd he give it up?
FBI.
Oh, I... He really did make money.
He really did, yeah. He was what you might call a greens goods merchant.
Yes. Well, I hope you won't resort to anything like counterfeiting.
Oh, no, no. Never that, no. However, right now...
What?
Never mind. Why do I talk so much?
Well, what were you doing right now?
Well, we're doing what you might call a little duplication work.
Oh, I see. Duplication work?
Yeah.
What kind?
Well, we're printing up some phony report cards.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Kids at school, you know, just personal favor.
Yes, I see. Well, Charlie, I'll not permit you to do any kind of printing like that.
No?
Now, you understand?
Well, all right. We'll stop if you'll give us an order.
An order? What kind of an order?
Well, we could print up some nice calling cards for you. Just a thing, you know, in case you go calling on some rich society tomato.
Yes. Well, I don't know any rich society tomatoes.
Well, how about 100 cards just to give to your friends?
I don't need 100 cards for my friends.
Well, it isn't worth setting up type for just 2 or 3.
It isn't, no. What kind of type do you have?
Well, of course, we have what we call uppercase and lowercase and also just in case. We could print your name in sloping type. You know, we call it hysterics.
You mean italics?
Yes, that's what we mean, yes.
Well, that's all very interesting, Charlie, but I don't think I need any calling cards.
Well, then how about some business cards? We sell them in quantity, you know, 2 bits a deck.
Oh, I see. Well, I might consider having some business cards made at that. Now, let me see. What would I say on my card?
Well, of course, you have to have your name.
Yes, I know.
Wouldn't be anything without that.
No.
And your name.
Yes. Well, it should say something about, you know, it should tell the people what I do.
Well, yes, yes, a business card should, yes.
Yes.
What you do.
Yes.
I'll sure save ink on this order, won't I?
Oh, what's going on?
Mr. Noble, you're just a man I want to see. Have a card.
Oh, I'd love to. Just crazy about card tricks, you know. What shall I do? Hold it behind me and all
no,
that sort of thing.
No. It's a calling card, Ray. You see, Charlie's into printing business.
Yes.
I could print you a card with your name on it and something that tells who you are.
No, but I already know who I am, old boy. Don't be ridiculous.
Oh, you do. There must be an answer to that sort of an argument. Well, then how about a business card, Mr. Noble? It would say, Ray Noble, conductor, huh? You like that, huh?
It sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Ray Noble, conductor.
Yes.
Then, of course, if anything happened to my orchestra, I'd always work in a streetcar, couldn't I?
Yes. That's an idea. Now, of course, you'd have to have something dignified.
Dignified, of course, yes.
Just plain Ray Noble isn't enough, you see. We've got to pad it a little. Have you got a middle name?
Middle name? Yes, I have. Of course, I don't brute it around very much, you know.
It's one of those things.
Well.
I bet it's a pip, huh?
Hey, what is your middle name, Ray?
Oh, wake up, please.
Huh?
Well, yeah, Montmorency. Okay. Montmorency?
No. Montmorency?
Yes.
How nice. How did you happen to get that name?
Well, I tell you, Edgar, you see, I had an uncle, a famous soldier of fortune and all that sort of thing, you know. Well, one time in India, his superior officer was attacked by a ferocious Bengal tiger. And uncle was unarmed, but he sprang on the tiger and with his bare hands strangled him.
Well, he must have been a remarkable man.
Oh, he was, Edgar. Yes, of course, he was decorated for it, you know.
I wouldn't be surprised.
His name was Montmorency?
No, come to think of it, his name was Pierpont.
Oh, Pierpont. Well, you folks must be patient. It's always like this.
Well, how did you get the name of Montmorency, Ray?
Oh, I see. Yes. Well, you see, Uncle Pierpont, now, he had an uncle at one time in Africa.
Oh, now, let's not start that again. I
This evening, we celebrate the return from Flageria of the noted professor of gremlinology, Bill Thompson. On his last safari, Professor Thompson discovered an entirely new species of gremlin known as gremites. And here is the great authority himself, Bill Gremite. Bill Thompson.
Good evening, friends. Happy May 23rd.
Thank you. Bill, we know that gremlins are mischievous little pixies that annoy our flyers in the air, but just what are gremites?
Well, gremites, Edgar, don't venture into the air. They create mischief on the ground and specialize in being household pests.
Yeah, but why are they called gremites?
Well, they're the result of intermarriage between the smallest gremlin and the largest termite. That's why they're called Gremites. You see, it follows.
Yes, that's not very logical. Now, just what do the Gremites do as household pets?
Well, when you've gone to bed on a cold night and the shade starts to rattle,
yes.
You know what causes that?
Well, sure, the wind.
No, you're wrong. It's a Gremite swinging back and forth on the shade. They want you to get up on your bare feet and shut the window. They go to any lengths to make you uncomfortable. In fact, right now I'm bothered with a pestiferous Gremite in my kitchen. All night long, he makes the water taps drip. He's a French Gremite.
A French Gremite?
Yes. His name is Fawcett. Yes. He's just a drip at heart. But just yesterday... Yesterday, the plaster in my living room fell down and hit me on the head.
Good.
This was caused by a Chinese Gremite. His name is Si Ling. Mm-hmm.
Where did you discover these Gremites, Bill?
In Flagaria, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Yes, of course.
My first encounter with a Gremite occurred while I was attending a performance of the National Flagarian Opera. Mm. They were giving a command performance of Heiengrin.
Heiengrin?
Yes. That's the upper-class version of Lohengrin.
Oh, now, what about Gremite?
Oh, yes, the Gremite. I first noticed him when he was opening a box of Cracker Jack in my left ear. It happened during the first act as the basso profundo sang the lovely Flagarian aria, Habrasdorf, half the pora, half the pora. Which translated means, it seems to me I heard that brattle dad before. That received the first act finale in which the bandits shout for their chief, the exiled Prince Broom Closet Stumphead. Horses' hoofs are heard, and the bandit chorus sings, Here comes the chief, here comes the chief. That's a beautiful sight as the Santa Fe chief roars to a stop on the stage, and Prince Stumphead gets off.
Yeah, well, just who is Prince Stumphead?
Well, Prince Stumphead was Flagaria's national hero 250 years ago.
Oh, well, he must be pretty old by now, then.
Yes, well, but he sings like a young man of 235.
Yes.
You should hear him do the opera's famous Freedom of Peach song.
Don't you mean freedom of speech?
No, freedom of peach. In the opera, King Bluntpuss refuses his son the use of the peach orchard.
Sure.
The prince sings of how peaches should be free for everyone. And if his dad doesn't relent, the prince will go to his mother and peach on the king. See? It is here that we first recognize the beautiful love theme of the opera. I've given the music to Mr. Noble, who will play it now. We should be prepared to recognize it since it occurs four times in the opera. Mr. Noble, will you play the theme, please? Thank you.
Would you have them play it again? I didn't get the middle part.
Well, certainly. I'm happy to see you appreciate the richness of tone and color shading displayed by the composer.
Yes.
Will you play it again, Mr. Noble?
Drags a little, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Watch that tempo, will you, Ray, please?
It must be a beautiful opera, Bill, though. I'd like to hear it performed sometime, you know.
Well, I could arrange for you to hear part of it, Edgar.
Well.
I just so happen to have two of Flagaria's greatest non-recording artists here with me.
Oh.
And here they are. Andras Segovlefad and Pianissimo Botkin playing and singing the opera's thrilling guitar duet from the La Brea guitar pits.
Ah, muffed.
Muffed? That's the proof they pack him, Mr. Flett. Not me muffed, you muffed. Is that that? I prove it to you. You tune up. Oh, smart aleck. Ah, you see, it is. It's you. You are the tune. I'm all right. I forgive you. It's written like that, you know that. Man, Mr. Forgot me, man. Okay, home.
Hey, Bill, what happened? Why were they shot?
That's funny, but you know that always happens in that opera, Edgar. We lose more guitar players like that.
Thank you.
monsieur. Oui, monsieur. Oh, oui, monsieur. Oui, si, oui.
Charlie, what is this oui, monsieur business?
Well, you know, Charles Boyer is here today.
Well, of course.
And you know, he's now not only a star, but he's also a producer. Get it?
No, but...
What? What's the oui, monsieur business for? Well, maybe he'll give me a job as a French yes man. Well, I don't know.
Charlie, I want you to remember that Mr. Boyer is our guest.
Well, certainly.
And you just won't mention pictures at all.
I don't know. What are we going to talk about? After all, he is a producer now.
Yes, I know. Well, tell him how glad you are to see him. And then you can talk about the weather.
The weather?
Hello, Charlie. Hello, Edgar. Oh, hello. Well, I hope I'm not interrupting.
Oh, no, not at all, no. As a matter of fact, we were laying for you.
What?
I mean, waiting for you, oh. Mr. Boyer. Yes, indeed, yes.
Watch yourself.
I'm watching out. And Mr. Boyer, you're looking very well.
Oh, thank you, Charlie.
Yeah, it's okay, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, nice weather we're having, isn't it?
Yes, very nice, very pleasant.
Yes, very pleasant, yes. That's okay. Yes, very pleasant. Yeah. Mighty nice for making pictures. Incidentally...
Now, Charlie...
No, Mr. Boyer doesn't want to talk shop.
He's here to have fun.
Fun?
Yes. Oh, well, speaking of fun, I guess it isn't much fun trying to find a clever little fellow to work in your pictures, is it, Mr. Boyer?
No, well, I'm sorry that you have to be annoyed.
Oh, no, that's all right. That's all right. As a matter of fact, it is not only difficult to find talented boys for pictures,
see?
But there is also a scarcity of new leading men.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now there are so few young men available, you know.
Oh, young leading men?
Yes.
Oh, is that so?
Oh, yes. What do you mean?
Oh, it can't be what I'm thinking.
I tell you, Mr. Boyer, you can take this for what it's worth, but my age is very deceptive.
Oh, really?
And photographically...
Oh, well. Stop it, Bergen. What do you mean? Trying to cut me out on this thing?
Well, I was only suggesting it for what it was worth.
I'll tell you what it's worth. It's worth nothing. Age deceptive.
Yes, deceptive.
No, it's
boy.
Decrepit. Decrepit.
Please.
Oh, forgive us. Just for being so sneaky about it, Bergen, we don't even want you in our next picture. Do we, Mr. Boyer? Do we?
What picture, Charlie?
Well, aren't we... Well, I mean, you producing another picture?
Well, I'm considering one.
Yes. Well, of course, you will remember me.
Oh, Charlie, I can never forget you.
Yeah. I don't know how to take that. Well, what kind of a cast are you going to have in the next one?
Oh, well, a lot of people. For instance, one of the leading parts is a young person of Scottish descent.
Oh, Scottish descent. Oh, good man. I didn't know you were looking for a Scotch lad. I spent several years in
Glasgow. No, Charlie, I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry, but you see, I forgot to mention that this Scottish character is a young girl.
Oh, a girl. Oh. Well, if I raise my voice, I comb my hair over one eye. No, it isn't worth it. I don't even work that bad. How about the picture you've just produced? Is it too late for me to, you know, do a couple of scenes to punch it up a little?
I'm sorry, Charlie, but you see, it's all finished.
Oh, it's finished, yeah. Well, how about reshooting a little of it?
I don't know what to say about that. You see, you'll have to speak to my partner.
Oh, it's one of those things, I see.
Well, you know how it is.
You got a partner, huh? Who is that?
Well, my co-producer, Julien Duvivier.
Oh, I see. It's one of those things.
Well, of course, as far as I'm concerned, it would be all right.
Yes, I know. Of course, you get mixed on those things. It's all right.
Well,
have to consult him. How about making a test of me so I'll be all set for the next picture?
A test?
Yeah.
Well, that could... No, Charlie, I'm sorry, but you really will have to speak to Duvivier.
Duvivier again.
Duvivier, yes.
Well, I guess I might just well talk about the weather then. It's a nice day, isn't it, Mr. Boyer? Or should I ask Duvivier?
No. What are you going to call the picture?
Well, the title is For All We Know. Or, as we say in French, On ne sait jamais.
Oh, and how right you are. Angers Jamais, and a bottle of Pomme de Terre 28.
Oh, Charlie, do you speak French?
Well, not fluently. All I know, really, is that garçon means taxi.
Well.
I'm not even sure of that. What stars are in this picture you just produced?
Well, there's Barbara Stanwyck.
Oh, she's good.
There's Edward G. Robinson.
Oh, he's good, too.
And there's Robert Cummings and Betty Field.
Oh, they're good. That's nice.
And it so happens that I am in it, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, that's picture business.
Oh, I see.
How did you happen to work it? I mean, to get in there.
You see, Charlie, I know the producer.
Oh, yes, I see. You stand in pretty good with yourself, don't you?
You know, politics.
Yeah. Yeah. What part do you play in the picture?
Well, I'm a tightrope walker in a circus.
A tightrope walker?
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me, how do you look in tights?
Well, really, that's not for me to say.
Oh, go ahead.
I'd rather not.
Oh, as bad as that, huh? Well, you see, where you made your mistake, I'd be handy to have around in a circus picture.
Oh, I'm sure you would be, Charlie. As a matter of fact, we were a little short of sawdust.
Yeah. Bergen, if he wasn't a producer, I'd clip him, so help me out. Moon down.
Goodbye, Charlie.
Goodbye.
Buddy Twist saying goodnight from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.